We're going to do something a little different this morning. But first, sometimes people ask me about church government, how it works here, how it should work. And they ask, do you have elders? And of course we have elders. And we're going to interview a couple of them now. But in my mind, an elder is someone else. They are the pillars of the church. And so when Paul writes to Timothy or Titus, I love in Titus, he writes that elders are those that love all that is good. And he gives a whole list of things that you should look for in elders. And so I'm not sure that elders are so much appointed. I think rather they're recognized. I think they're recognized in the body of Christ, because when either in times of amazing blessing or in times of difficulty, the people of the church look to them and they bring a stability to the church. And that is what Bob and Linda have done over the last 15 years in this church. And it's come to a point now when they move into good old Essex, which is our old stomping ground, to be with their children and grandchildren. But we wanted to, they've been with us right at the beginning. We wanted firstly to thank them and honor them for all they have done in this church. But yep, you can. But also to ask them a few questions, and then we'll get them to pray for us at the end. Is that okay? So, back in 2007, you came and joined this little family of Juliet, myself, Joel, and Emma, and started a new adventure. Tell us a little bit about that. What brought you to join us and to be part of this church?
Well, hello? Yes, yep. It is. going back, quite some years now, I went to a vineyard thing. There were no vineyard churches in Leicester. And of course, when we started with Steve and Juliet, we were vineyard then. Going right back before that, many years before that, I'd signed up for this Signs and Wonders conference with John Wimber, and it was absolutely awesome. The power and presence and move of the Holy Spirit, I had never experienced anything like it before. And I came back touched by God and changed, and really. Then I sort of became like a friend of Vineyard. I would sort of go to all their conferences. I didn't try to join a Vineyard church. We'd help plant a church in Odeby, the Lighthouse, and we were faithfully serving there, and that's where we put all our energy. But any opportunity I had, I would go to a Vineyard conference and get topped up.
And can I just say that actually on our silver wedding anniversary, we went to a Vineyard conference.
to get topped up.
To get topped up, yeah. So, we were in the Lighthouse for about 13 years. And towards the end, we're feeling unsettled. We got a dear friend who was the leader of the parish, the rector. But his vision for things was not really sort of in line with where we felt that the Lord was leading for the Lighthouse. And it got difficult. You know, we got lots of people applying for baptism who had already received infant baptism. And, of course, I mean, that doesn't sit too well with the Church of England. And there were difficulties like this arising and other things, bringing sort of tensions. And something I didn't say in the first service, but God spoke to me while I was praying this through at one stage, saying that he was going to take us out of the Church of England. And I was, at this point, it was pretty desperate because the church had gone through so much. And I just said to the Lord, Lord, if this is you, then you've got to do it. I cannot take these people through anymore. And in the meantime, things started to happen and develop. And then just out of the blue, the rector said, these things are unreconcilable, really. We feel that we ought to let you go, cut you loose, in effect.
I think for both of us, it was hard on many levels. For me, I got such vision for youth and was leading a youth group of which Joel was one of our key people. Caused us a lot of trouble.
Still does.
Yeah.
And I had such a vision for it. We were taking them off to Soul Survivor, probably the oldest leaders there. And it was going places. And the thing with God is...
Sorry, can I just ask, you were taking them to youth camp, and how old were you guys?
50.
I was in my 50s. Yeah.
You see why we want them to we want you to hear their story, because they're pretty epic and faithful to the Lord. So they were at a youth camp in their 50s. Carry on.
It was fun, especially with Joel. But I had such vision for it. And it was moving forward. Great things were happening. Lots of young people were coming who were unchurched. We had a great youth band, sort of bit modelled on Hillsong and all of that. And I was so excited for it. And so whilst I could see Bob's frustration, I just felt, Lord, don't ask me to lay this down. And I'll never forget the day the rector, who tried so hard to make it work, he came to us and he said, I think I've found a way that we can make this work. I suggest that Linda is put forward for ordination. Yeah. Well, you should have seen his face. He was not amused. That was a no-goer.
I think you would have made a great vicar. I can see it. I want you to see a few things. One, do you see the track record? Do you see that these two have sown and sown and sown? They've always run after the Holy Spirit, the desire to know him and love him, and then all the fruit around them. Fruit causes trouble. We sometimes think of fruit as something that, it's just all good. No. When there's fruit around you, there's all sorts of difficulties because you have to get the fruit in, otherwise it goes bad. And so in the midst of all of that, you found us.
Yes, that was the good news. So,
what happened, we'd already, I'd talked to Linda about how I was feeling very unsettled. And she said to me, you want to join Vineyard, don't you? I said, well, yeah, but God hasn't told us to join Vineyard, you know. To which she started to lecture me and, really sort of let me have it. And I was thinking, oh, right, OK, yeah, OK, I've got that, Linda. And as a result of that, I went away and prayed and I really felt a witness to what Linda was saying. You know, when she starts getting angry with me, I have to be careful because it's usually God. We then felt that God was calling us to Vineyard. We hadn't heard anything about Steve and Juliet at the time coming to Leicester. We got in touch with a friend called Rajani who was in Vineyard and did a bit of cross-cultural church with him. But suddenly, out of the blue, we heard that Steve and Juliet were coming to Leicester. And everything started to fit into place while we got this call to Vineyard. And so... we got in touch with Steve and Juliet and, had a coffee with them I guess the rest is history, I suppose, you know.
So when you came to join us, we were just a handful of people. Literally. But it meant laying down a number of things that you'd been doing. What kind of things did you have to...
Right, yeah. Well, I guess really, you know, I got this idea, I really got this passion to be in Vineyard because of all that I'd seen God doing in Vineyard. And I thought I could be just coming into Vineyard doing the same things, you know, sort of preaching, leading worship, used to lead the Alpha stuff and things like this. And we joined up and started to get stuck in. I used to have a few meetings with Steve. And then one day he said, Bob, would you consider being the service manager when we were going to start the services? And now service management is basically, we didn't have our own building. We've got to get all the equipment from the church office to the
building. What time in the morning did that start?
Yeah, we'd start, I'd get up at 7:30, get down to the office for 8. Then we'd have to get the vans, which we used to load up, but then we got a bit better at it and had them ready loaded. Bring them here, get them all. You had all the equipment to the rooms, you had it set up, all the chairs out and everything, refreshments, stewards, and welcome team, and all these things were going on. And then we would start it all over again when the service came to an end.
Pack it all down. What time did it all finish?
We finished about 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
And rotors, all the people, everything.
Now, you know, you've got to understand, when Steve came to me and said he wanted me to do this, I didn't know all this entail, but it was the stuff that I've been managing to avoid for the past 20 years. And, you know, stuff I really didn't want to do. And when Steve first asked me to do it, I was a bit sort of, flipping out. You know, I was like this. I said in the first service, I felt like Jonah in Nineveh. You know, just ready to, okay then, Lord, you know. But I went and prayed about it, and I felt that the Lord showed me clearly that he wanted me to do it. So, well, okay then, Lord, if that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. And so
I think a lot of you can still remember the bob stick. We still got it, the thing called a bob stick. It's used for measuring the chairs to make sure they're put.
We use it for limbo dancing now.
And again, for me, I was heading at the youth work, leading alphas, preaching, teaching, and I thought, well, I'll just do whatever. I don't mind, I'll just muck in. And I was asked to help with kids. And as Juliet mentioned before, my job was, I trained as a nursery nurse, then an early years teacher. So Monday to Friday, it was wall-to-wall kids. And so on Sunday, it had been quite nice for me to not do kids, but kids is where we were needed, or I was needed. So, and in those early days, just being with Steve and Juliet and watching the pace at which they got things done was an education. Because whilst we've been in leadership, our hands were often tied. And if we wanted anything doing, it would usually involve a variety of meetings and pacifying people and having lots of pastoral input to stroke people to make sure they didn't feel upset. And we witnessed Steve and Juliet. It was like being at the master's feet. You know, creation, God said, let there be light, and there was light. Steve would say, let there be two services, and there were two services. And we were a bit, wow, this is amazing. Tiring, but amazing.
I was just going to say, I think we want to really honour the way in which you have served faithfully. And I think one of the things that we wanted you to hear in their story is at the beginning, their heart, their desire, their calling was to see the glory of God. You know, Bob talked about the signs and wonders and salvation. That's what was in his heart. And they together were willing to just say yes to Jesus, to do anything, even coming on a little church plant adventure with us. But they understood when we asked them to do something that they hadn't done before or even really wanted to do, that was part of that vision. It's like we had a shared vision to see the glory of God come. But you knew because you were so faithful in that yes, that if those things don't happen, we don't get to worship together. We don't get to be a community together. We don't get to be family together. The children need to see the glory of God. And it was just a real privilege to watch you guys just roll up your sleeves and do whatever for His glory. And I just want to honour that and say thank you, because I think there's pretty much, I mean, we're just talking about a couple of things here, but there's pretty much nothing that you haven't done over the last 15 years. I think at some stage, probably not that long ago, you were actually deputies leading the children's ministry with Joel a few years back. And so you've been faithful to the highest possible call. And I just want to honour that and thank you for your service and sacrifice. Mm. Mm. Mm.
And interesting enough, when we lay things down, obviously going to Soul Survivor and camping in the beautiful British summer, as we've always come to enjoy, sometimes we lay things down and we think that's the end. But it's interesting, this weekend we've been celebrating Chosen. And you see, you lay something down in order that the Lord can multiply it. And the heart desire to see young people released into the life of the church, to see them saved, to see them flourishing in Jesus. And now you see the fruit all around it, that the things we think we're laying down, actually we're giving to the Lord, and He multiplies it and we see His glory. So I remember early on in the church, you had us praying. And one of the things Bob has been passionate about is prayer. Well, both of them, but very much Bob just getting up and every Tuesday morning. Tell us a little bit about the Tuesday morning prayer meetings and what we prayed.
Yeah, well, on Tuesdays, yeah, we used to get up early in the morning before work and stuff. I'd actually retired then, but the people who came in before they go to work, and we'd be praying about all aspects of church. But I guess the biggest thing on my heart that I used to pray for every week was the different ethnic groups in the city and longing to see the gospel touch these different ethnic groups, who were sort of bound up in false religion and really not having heard about Jesus at all, and just longing to see breakthrough in those ethnic groups. And yeah, I used to pray a lot about that.
And I look back at those prayer meetings and I honestly can't think of one prayer we prayed that hasn't happened, that the Lord didn't hear. And you know, there was one point where we were meeting in our offices to pray and the council got wind of it, that we were praying. And so they banned us from praying in our office. Who knew you need planning permission to pray? Yeah. And so we were out in the freezing cold and the council sent an official to park outside the building at 7:30 in the morning to make sure we weren't praying inside the building. And so we prayed out on the streets. Do you remember, with a breath?
Yeah, it was freezing cold. And the breath was just coming out in the cold and all the condensation. And we'd be gathering around and praying, really going for it, you know. And this official in the car sitting outside. I can't remember where he was. But anyway, as Steve says, you know, he was there and we weren't allowed to go in. But, you know, it didn't stop us praying.
And the Lord heard our prayers and answered them. Prayer is the fuel, the boiler house of all that the Lord does.
Amen. We saw that over and over again, praying for revival, praying for strongholds to be broken down, praying for people to have dreams and visions of Jesus. And at one point, we were doing neighbourhood parties and I would just look around our lounge sometimes and be thrilled. We'd small lounge and we'd squeeze 40 people in, Muslim, Hindu, And us and Rent Crowd, which was always Joel and Rachel and a few others from the church, just to make sure there are enough Christians around and to make the numbers look good. And we always spoke about our faith. And they were great times, actually. And just seeing the fruit of that now is wonderful.
Yeah, and I want to say the respect of the people who came and... I would always, towards the end of the party, because that's a beer party, I'd just stop and talk. I'd share about Jesus and, probably read some scriptures and stuff and speak to them. And you'd look around the room and they'd all be there, intent, nodding and, taking it in. And you think, Lord, people are hungry. And, there was a respect there which was... really encouraging. Yeah.
I love that because it's another example of the way that you've lived life following Jesus. You have been faithful prayers. In fact, I can't remember a prayer meeting where you let us get away with not praying about the different groups in the city, the Muslim, the Sikh, the Hindu. You always ended with praying for those groups. You were relentless because God has put it on your heart. And now we are seeing people saved. And there is a correlation between your prayers and that happening. You've been faithful, but also you didn't just pray, you did it. So you were praying and also being the answer to that prayer yourselves in your street, in your community. And I just love that you've been so faithful to what God put on your heart. Mm. I remember, Linda, a conversation that I had with you once that was, it's kind of imprinted in my head because I found out something new. It wasn't that long ago. It was probably about a year ago or so. And we were talking about what it feels like to be in our church. And I remember you saying, there's been so much change. I mean, these guys, when you think the church was like 6 people or 10 people, and now we're multiple services in this building, God has called us into a new story, we're Chroma. There's been so much change that they have walked out with us. And I remember you saying, sometimes it's exhausting. It's been exhausting. That was the reality. But you said, but we have always wanted to be in a church of God chasers. That was the priority. Again, this thing of I want to see the glory of God. And so I'm willing to pay the price, even if that means sometimes there's change.
Yeah. I think this is it. It's too easy, isn't it, to get comfortable. We all know that feeling. You're in a church that you love. You know everybody. You know how it works. Because every church has a different culture and it's very easy to get comfortable. But I think our experience is that God has moved us on. In fact, I think this possibly is almost the longest we've ever been in a church, maybe. And I've never wanted to move on. Although this is the first church that we haven't actually been asked to leave.
What happens?
I've never wanted to. However,
me too, actually.
We've got a lot in common.
This is what it's like living in the presence of His glory. Yeah. God chases.
Yeah. We're well familiar with the left boot of fellowship. Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, but I think I know I'm an eternal being. Yes, I'm aging. Obviously, on the outside, I wish I wasn't. But inside, I feel exactly the same. I look at the youth, and I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
I hang out with the youngsters. I go for coffee with Kate. She's a youngster. Hang out with Joel and Rachel because I'm an eternal being. I don't need to be facilitated. I just want to be where God is. But honestly, these two, we feel honoured, but we just hang on to them. It's a bit, if they say jump, we say, how high?
What would you say to people that feel that they've got to a stage of life where they need to sit back and kind of just let the young get on with it? Tell them what you think.
There's an interesting thing, really, because I thought we got to that stage.
At what point was that? 15 years ago. Yeah.
We have been through a difficult time over the past few years. Linda had been very poorly, and we'd laid a lot down in the church, and got my own issues and battles that were going on, and it was a hard time. And it went on and on, you know, and we were really in the fire. But I guess really... We felt that, that's it now, you know. And Steve said to me, look, Bob, don't try and lead anything. Just come and enjoy what is going on. I thought, well, yeah, it's fantastic. And I was enjoying. I was loving church, you know. But there were these, battles and things going on. And so little did I realise that God was preparing us for something else and a new season. Mm. And it all became apparent when Linda said to me, after she was starting to recover, she said, Bob, I'm really not happy here where we live. I want to move.
And I didn't mean away from Leicester.
And I absolutely loved where we were living, the environment and everything. I've been born in Leicester. I love the church. And I thought, what do you want to do that for, you know? And I was really sort of, not happy about it. And Linda said, well, will you pray about it? I said, well, okay, yeah, I'll pray about it. And came to just one evening where I've been watching a bit of telly. I wasn't feeling particularly spiritual. I was thinking, oh, I better not pray about this because this is a big deal. I'm not feeling that spiritual. I thought, no, I will do. And I started to pray, and the Holy Spirit just came upon me, and I started to see all the different moves that God had taken us through, and how God's provision had come and blessing had come as a result of stepping out with him in difficult stuff, you know, and what had happened, and saying to me, have I ever let you down? Mm. And, and I thought, well, yeah, Lord, no, you haven't. And he said, yeah, and basically saying, this is going to be no different. And yes, this is me. And I tell you, I really had difficulty coming to terms with it, because I had heard the Lord. I said to Linda, well, yeah, I have prayed. And I feel the Lord is saying, yeah, you know, this is him. But I tell you, for weeks, it was really hard, because I loved it where I was. Mm. And, it was hard to let go. I loved the church. I loved everything. And I got to let go of it all, basically.
Mm. I mean, this is one of the things that has been so precious to us walking with you, that we know that if the Lord is speaking about something, we can come to you. We've come to you a number of times, all of the different seasons of change as the Lord has spoken, because we know that you will go away and pray and hear from the Lord yourselves. And you're willing to do anything really that he says, even if that means sacrifice. And I know that for us, there's been all of these different changes that you've walked out with us, different seasons in the church life, highs and lows. But there was a pretty epic transition 5 years ago when we moved out of the vineyard and we became Croma, as the Lord spoke to us about that. And one of the things that was incredible was the way in which you guys prayed and walked alongside with us. You know, one of the things as leaders is that if you are a God chaser and you're going after the glory of God, sometimes he will speak to you first before he speaks to the rest of the people. And you've got to actually start moving. And what's so important is that you've got leaders and people behind you who will actually get on their knees and start praying to hear the Lord too. And you guys did, and then you started walking with us. And again, I'm so grateful and so thankful. I remember a particular leaders' meeting where, we were walking this out, this transition, as the Lord was giving us this new name, this new story of which we're enjoying today. And I remember a moment, because it was quite tense and tricky as we were walking out together. And I remember there was a moment, Bob, where you literally just stood up and you said, this is the Lord. And the room just went silent. And it was just one of those moments where, you know, we were doing this together. We were walking out one of these transitions together. And I'm just so thankful. Why don't you just say a little bit about that process of hearing from the Lord for those things that you've stood alongside us in?
Well, I think really it's just seeing what's happened and knowing what the Lord... See, the Lord has taken us through some fires and some tough times where, you know, we've come into difficulties with the church that we're in. And, you know, it's something you're not looking for. It suddenly seems to happen and come out of the blue. And we've been through some very painful times and left and come out of churches really, I guess, well, in the end of the day, the Lord leading us out, but very traumatic time leading up to it. And I could see Steve and Juliet in a similar sort of time, in a much bigger way with Vineyard. And this feeling that, you know, this is not dissimilar to what we've been through and times like this. And there was all sorts of things being said and trying to make things fit so that we could carry on with Vineyard, and sort of changes to make and things, suggestions being put forward. And, you know, I just said at the time that, you know, yeah, it all looks great, but, you know, if that's not what the Lord is saying, you cannot go with these things and maintain your integrity. You have to listen to God, and if it means hurting people, you know, and that's what I really admire about you two. You know, when God is saying something and it's going to cause ructions, you know, you never shrink back from it. And, you know, we respect you enormously for the stands that you take and these things. And this was such a stand. And, yeah, I just stood in that meeting and shared that I'd been through something similar, and that, you know, Steve and Juliet, you know, they need to just go with what God is saying, and if it means that people are going to get hurt and stuff, well, you know, there's nothing, you can't avoid it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. God does difficult mm-hmm. things. People get hurt at times. Part of church, part of growing up, mm-hmm. you know. Mm-hmm. I think John Wimber used to say, I want to grow up before I grow old, mm-hmm. you know.
mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of, as we went through that transition, they didn't only stand alongside us, they rolled their sleeves up. They were back on children's ministry, children's worship, leading a children's group, doing the offering, and counting the money. You name it, they were doing it. And that has been the mark of the life of these two, of loving Jesus and serving his church. And time is moving on, but what would you say to us? Obviously, we're reaping some of the benefits of the changes that have been made. We love the salvation, the all that the Lord is doing in this church. But what would you say to us in this next season?
I think for me, I've prayed about this, and I've referred to you two other people as racehorses. And when all this was going on and leaving Vineyard, I said to Bob, Steve and Juliet are God chasers. They need to be free. They need to be free to run, not curtailed. And my advice to you now, my word to you now, is the same. Keep being those racehorses. And a racehorse wears blinkers. It has to, because it's very easily distracted. And it's got to keep its eye on where it's going. You've got enough people, enough great leaders around you to deal with the distractions. You keep your eye, keep running. Like I said before, you've got enough in your tank still. I know you have. So just keep doing it and don't get distracted.
And I think also, you know, there's such a move of God taking place here now. And just the feeling that, you know, as we are now, God is leading us out. And I feel that I feel a sense of being sent out, really, to take what God has been touching our lives with. And, you know, through, you know, went to Avivamento with Steve, and God really touched me there and put revival in my heart. It's never gone. I pray for revival. You know, people say, well, you know, we're getting revival, but I don't stop. I will not stop praying for revival until the anointing goes. As long as the anointing is there, I will pray for revival, and this is in my heart, and all that is happening here, and I guess really, just saying to Steve and Juliet, yeah, for people to go out and take what is happening here and go and, you know, sow it somewhere, sow it in other places. Not talking about necessarily church planting, stuff like that, but really, I feel that God is doing something here in Leicester, and he's going to be doing it elsewhere as well. And I think really it's, you know, just I'm sure the Holy Spirit is going to be leading people out from here to go and be there in other places to bring what God has been doing here. Mm. Yeah.
Thank you.